From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Oil is washing up on more Gulf Coast beaches with tar balls reaching as far east as Pensacola Beach, Florida. BP has managed to place a cap on its broken well that, for now at least, appears to be capturing more crude. BP's chief executive tells the BBC today that the cap is now funneling off 10,000 barrels a day, and he hopes the spill will be under control soon. NPR's Brian Mann reports that public pressure has been building on the British company to stop the spill and take full responsibility for the cleanup.
At a briefing Saturday, Coast Guard Admiral Thad Allen said the cap that BP had eased down over the gushing pipe on the ocean floor is working. It collected about 250,000 gallons of crude on its first full day of operation, but that's still only a fraction of the total pollution streaming into the Gulf. The plan is to slowly increase the amount of oil being captured. 6 weeks after an oil rig explosion killed 11 workers, tar balls and gooey coils of crude have worked their way into wetlands and beaches from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle. In his weekly media address yesterday, President Barack Obama said the company would pay every single dime owed to the people along the Gulf Coast. In a Twitter message, BP executive Tony Hayward promised that the company will pay all legitimate damage claims. Brian Mann, NPR News, New Orleans.
BP says it has no specific budget to pay those damage claims, but a BP executive says that the company again will pay legitimate claims. Darrell Willis is vice president of resources for BP's American operations.
So far, we have not denied any claims. We have paid $17,000. We currently have 17,000 that are in progress.
Willis was speaking with reporters in a conference call. More than 200,000 people are expected to take part in an open-air mass in Poland shortly to beatify a Roman Catholic priest who was murdered by the communist secret police in 1984. The priest was declared a martyr by Pope Benedict in December. The BBC's Adam Easton has more from Warsaw.
In Poland, Father Jerzy Popiełuszko is the symbol of the struggle against communism in the 1980s. His mass services attracted large crowds, including many non-believers and solidarity opposition activists. The communist authorities saw him as a threat, and in October 1984, Secret Service police kidnapped him and beat him to death. His bound body was dumped in a river. Father Popiełuszko's funeral was attended by more than 500,000 people and turned into a mass demonstration against the communist system.
The BBC's Adam Easton. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is planning to convene senior cabinet ministers today to decide whether Israel will participate in an international investigation into its deadly raid last week on a flotilla headed to Gaza. Israel says UN Chief Ban Ki-moon wants former New Zealand Prime Minister Jeffrey Palmer to head the panel. And from Washington, this is NPR News. Two New Jersey men who allegedly intended to kill American troops had been arrested before they could board flights in New York. The Star-Ledger of Newark reports the men were allegedly planning to join a jihadist group in Somalia. Both men are U.S. citizens. The French Open concludes this afternoon, and as Frank Browning reports, this year's matches produce new stars in women's tennis and a much-anticipated finale for the men.
Rafael Nadal, the Spaniard who won his first Roland Garros Grand Slam at age 19, faces the man who eliminated him in last year's quarterfinals, Robin Soderling. The contrast between the two athletes couldn't be sharper. Soderling, a tall, cool, calculating Viking, and Nadal, who makes a point of displaying his pumped biceps on the court, in the celebrity sports media, and on his own website, complete with disco sound and images. Francesca Schiavone of Italy took this year's women's title, her first Grand Slam victory, which again brought disappointment to the American sisters Serena and Venus Williams. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
The third jewel in horse racing's Triple Crown saw an upset. Drosselmeyer seized the lead in the stretch of the Belmont Stakes and gave Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott and jockey Mike Smith their first win in a Triple Crown race. Smith says it's a great victory.
I spent 14 years in New York and was blessed to win just about everything there is here except that race. And I don't know, when I got the phone call and Bill said that, asked if we'd be interested in riding him, I mean, the first thing I thought of was I'm going to win the Belmont.
Drosselmeyer defeated Fly Down by 3/4 of a length. Preakness runner-up First Dude was third. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.